In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus is Lord, and he's Lord over all. He's Lord over your life, he's Lord over your death, he's Lord over all things. We sometimes want to compartmentalize our life in Christ, but he's Lord over all. And that makes the demons tremble, but it brings joy and peace to the followers of Christ. We're going to focus on that truth today. May the Lord bless the speaking and hearing of his word. Romans 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. 1 Thessalonians 5. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Jesus is Lord of all things. And so whether you're Jonah in the belly of the whale, or you are Job in the midst of suffering, or you are Paul in prison, or you're in the midst of whatever situation you find yourself, Jesus is Lord of all. And he's working in the midst of all things. The Apostle Paul, also known as Saul, and he was an adult convert to Christianity. He didn't change his name when he became a Christian. He used both names. Saul was more of a Jewish name. Paul was more of a Greek name, but he used them both. He had been a devout follower of Judaism. He was Jewish, and he was very devout. He became a teacher in the Jewish faith, and he rose to a position of prominence and authority. Today, you would call him an extremist, and he was very zealous. People looked up to him, admired him, very ambitious for his faith. And in his devoutness to his religion, he persecuted Christians. Because Christians say Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jewish people reject that. They reject it today. They rejected it in Paul's day. And so Paul sought to persecute Christians. He cursed the name of Jesus, and he tried to get Christians to do the same. One day as he was traveling to Damascus to arrest Christians that were there, a bright light shone around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice from heaven. And the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Paul replied, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Rise and enter the city and you will be told what to do." Paul was blinded, couldn't see. His friends had to lead him into Damascus. Meanwhile, the Lord spoke to a man by the name of Ananias in a vision. Ananias was a follower of Jesus. And God told Ananias, "There's a man in Damascus by the name of Paul. Go and lay your hands on him." And Ananias had heard about Paul. He'd heard that he would arrest Christians. So Ananias, he didn't want to go. He thought it was dangerous. He knew Paul was a violent man. And God said to Ananias, "Go. Paul is my chosen instrument." So Ananias went, laid hands on Paul, restored his sight, and he baptized Paul. And from that day on, Paul began to teach and preach that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that he is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. And as time went on, the word of God began to spread. Paul started Christian churches. He trained pastors. He wrote letters of instructions to pastors. We have three of them in the New Testament. Two of them were written to Timothy. One of them was written to Titus. Paul began to see the world very differently. And we might say God gave him a new worldview. And the way you think affects the way you act. You act a certain way because you think a certain way. This is very evident in the life of Paul. In his writings to trained pastors, he's very candid. He writes to Timothy about his former life. And he doesn't minimize anything. He doesn't try to hide or justify it. In fact, he tells Timothy he is the foremost of sinners. Worst of sinners. But in that truth, he says, God had mercy on me. To show the world that God can have mercy on all kinds of people, even people who are great sinners. He was an example. Coming out of the Jewish faith that did not teach about Jesus correctly, Paul realized how important it was to teach the faith and to teach it the way it's written, the way it should be taught. And so he's very insistent on teaching about Jesus properly, teaching correctly about the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to change people, has the power to save people, has the power to bring people to faith in Christ, and to give people and to deliver to people a joy and peace that is found nowhere else. It's a word that gives life. Hear what Paul writes to Timothy. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. As a Jewish person, a follower of the Jewish religion, Paul never would have written that. The government at Paul's time was very pagan, very godless, and the Jews despised the Romans, had no use for them, were waiting for them to be overthrown. Now that Paul's a Christian, he sees Jesus as Lord of all. He sees Jesus has his hand in all things, and Jesus is actually over the government. And so he urges Timothy to pray for the pagan Roman government. Now, the government hadn't changed. They were still godless. They were still pagan. But as Paul reminds Timothy of this, he's reminding him, Jesus is Lord of all things. It's not about compartmentalizing your life. It's seeing Jesus over everything. And reminding Timothy to pray for the government helps remind Timothy who's in charge. Jesus is. The government is under Jesus. Whether the government realizes that or not, whether the government acknowledges that or not, doesn't matter, because Jesus is Lord of all. And Paul tells us the purpose behind those prayers. It's good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. No other religion in the world desires that all people would be saved. That is unique to the God of the Bible. Our God desires to save everybody. And not only does he desire that, he makes it possible through his one and only Son. He is a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And we are called upon to trust that truth. That's not my truth. That's not your truth. That is the truth, the truth of God's word, because Jesus is Lord over all. So as a follower of Jesus, you are to pray for the government at all levels, federal, state, local. That doesn't mean you agree with their politics. It doesn't mean you approve of what they are doing, but you are to pray for them. Not to pray against them, but you are to pray for them. To pray for them. You're to pray for our president, our senators, our congressmen, our governor, our state legislators, our mayor. You're to pray for them because that honors our God, who is Lord over all. That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Belief precedes action. There will always be those people who, for whatever reason, want to stir things up politically. That will always be going on. Some people like drama. Some people like to make other people feel afraid. That is not you. You can be at peace. You don't need to be triggered by the latest news cycle, whatever it may happen to be. You can live in the place of quiet confidence and not in fear and anxiety because Jesus is Lord. And he's Lord over all. Jesus is Lord over all, and we honor him when we follow his direction. And that's a very practical application of that wonderful truth. So then the question comes up, and it's a good question. Well, if Jesus is Lord, then why do bad things happen? Why doesn't he fix things? Why does it seem that good people die? That's a good question. We won't blame God for our sin. Our world suffers because of sin. Our sin as individuals, our sin collectively as people. Christians also suffer. Christians also die. We worship a God who raises the dead. We worship a God who is Lord over all. Over all. And that means all things in heaven and on earth. He's Lord over our lives, Lord over our deaths. He's Lord over all things. And so even in the midst of our challenges and difficulties, Paul would remind us, there's the possibility, in fact, we can have joy. Because our challenges, no matter what they are not without purpose. Our Lord, who's working, is over all, and is working in ways that we can't see or understand, but we trust that he is a God who is good, gracious, and merciful, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, he means, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in the Lord. Rejoice in his lordship. He's working in the midst of all things, and of that, we can be confident. Jesus is Lord. Abide in that truth. Pray for our government, and continue to pray for the spread of God's holy word that all might be saved. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.